the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. For decades, militant Muslims have been making worldwide headlines with their shocking violence. And while terrorist groups like ISIS represent a very small fraction of the 1.5 billion Muslims in the world, the actions of this minority are creating ripples across the globe. Today, I want to show you that radical Islam is not a recent phenomenon. In fact, its roots can actually be traced back thousands of years ago to biblical times. My message is titled, The Rise of Radical Islam, on today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
While the coronavirus continues to threaten our lives and our livelihoods, political and social unrest abound. In his best-selling book, Countdown to the Apocalypse, Dr. Robert Jeffress examines current events in light of Bible prophecy. There's no way of knowing where we are on God's prophetic timeline, but the countdown to the final battle has definitely begun. Request your copy of Countdown to the Apocalypse when you give a generous gift to Pathway to Victory.
The radio host asked a very simple question. Can we expect more beheadings in the United States? The answer from Robert Spencer was equally direct. Nothing is more certain than that, he said. Mr. Spencer knows what he's talking about. He's the president of Jihad Watch, an organization devoted to watching the action of Islamic terrorists around the world. He understands the connection between radical Islam and terrorism. It's been bad enough over the last year to see the grisly videos on the internet of ISIS beheading innocent people. But then came this headline last fall: Oklahoma woman beheaded by Islam evangelism coworker. What we're seeing around the world, Mr. Spencer is saying, we're going to start seeing more frequently in our own country as well. Who are these people that are committing these ghastly acts? What do they believe? What is their goal? And most importantly, what is their connection to the return of Jesus Christ? That's what we're going to talk about in today's message. In our series, Countdown to the Apocalypse, we're looking at the signs Jesus said would precede his visible, literal return to planet Earth. And although Jesus made it very clear in Matthew 24 that no man knows the day or the hour of his return, we can know and should know the signs that will lead to his return so that we can be alert and prepared for his return. Jesus said these signs will be like the labor pains, the birth pains that a woman experiences. They will increase in both frequency and intensity before the end comes. And in this series, Countdown to the Apocalypse, we're looking at three of those signs that will precede the Lord's return. And the first of those signs we're going to talk about today, and that is the rise of radical Islam. Now, is it fair to connect terrorism that we're seeing around the world with the so-called peaceful religion of Islam? Many leaders in the West say that's an unfair connection. They are dead wrong in their assertion. All we have to do is listen to what these beheaders say themselves about their motivation for doing what they're doing. These terror groups go by different names. They're called ISIS, the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. They go by ISIL, the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant, or IS, the Islamic State. But all of those names are connected to the religion of Islam. Make no mistake about it. These terrorists are Islamic terrorists who are doing what they are doing in the name of their Muslim faith. When they commit these acts of terror, they are doing exactly what their book of faith, the Quran, commands them to do. They are not acting in opposition to their faith. They are obeying the basic tenet of their faith that is found in the Quran. For example, they point to one of the sword verses, Surah 9, verse 5. Read what it says. Then, when the sacred months have passed, slay the idolaters. That's you. Slay the idolaters wherever you find them, and take them captive, and besiege them, and prepare for them each ambush. But if they repent and establish worship and pay the poor due, then leave them and their way free. Lo, Allah is forgiving and merciful. This is not just an aberration. This is not just some one verse taken out of context. There are 35 verses like this in the Quran, in the latter part of the Quran, which is binding today, that calls for violence against what the Quran calls the people of the book, that is, Jews and Christians alike. Isn't it interesting that Islam sees Christian and Jews together? They're all one. They're called the people of the book. Now, may I point out here a difference between this and what the New Testament teaches? The New Testament is our guiding principle for how we live and behave. You cannot find one single verse in the New Testament that calls for violence against unbelievers. Jesus said, love your enemies. Muhammad said, butcher your enemies. That is the difference between Islam and Christianity. There is not one verse in the New Testament that calls for this. ISIS burns down churches in the name of Allah. They kidnap in the name of Allah. They behead in the name of Allah. There is a connection between Islam and terrorism. Now, again, I've been asked all the time on these radio and television programs, but Pastor, there are extreme Christians, too, who do horrible things in the name of their faith. That is true, and we have to acknowledge that. But first of all, as I said, when they do these things, they are acting in opposition to what the New Testament says. You can't sort one legitimate verse in the New Testament that calls for violence against unbelievers. So you have to look at that. But you also have to look at these extreme actions of Christians in proportion to what these Islamic terrorists are doing. For example, I have people ask me all the time, well, what about these extremist Christians who bomb abortion clinics. Isn't that the same thing? Do you know how many people have died in abortion clinic bombings? How many total have died in the last 30 or 40 years? A total of 8. 8 people have died in the killing of abortion clinic bombings. Why, that's not even a good half hour's work for a Muslim terrorist. You look at the Inquisition. People say, well, what about the Inquisition? All these innocent people died. That was a dark period in the church's life. And it was. The Inquisition went for 450 years. You know how many people died in the Inquisition? Over 450 years? 2,200 people died. That's about 5 people a year were killed in the Inquisition. More people were killed on September 11th, 2001, a single day, by Muslim terrorists than were killed in all of the Inquisition put together. You have to put this into context. These people are acting in concert with their faith in Islam. In case you need more proof that this is connected to Islam, consider the words of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS. He is the leader of ISIS. He's in his 40s. He claims to be a descendant of Muhammad. He earned a PhD from the Islamic University of Baghdad. And thank God, 2 months ago, he got hit by one of our drone strikes. And right now, he's suffering a spinal injury, and we are going to pray that God takes him to his reward very, very soon. But I want you to listen to what al-Baghdadi says about the connection between Islam and his call to violence. This was a speech he gave on July the 4th. It is chilling in its forthright embrace of violent jihad. He said, quote, the Muslims today have a loud, thundering statement and possess heavy boots. They have a statement that will cause the world to hear and understand the meaning of terrorism, and boots that will trample the idol of nationalism, destroy the idol of democracy, and uncover its deviant nature. Radical Islam has one goal, and that is to destroy Christians, Jews, the West, and everyone who sympathizes with them. I understand, and I'll be the first to admit, it would be unfair to say all Muslims are violent. It would be unfair to say the majority of Muslims are violent. I think the most conservative estimate is that only 5% of Muslims today embrace the ideology of radical Islam. But think about it. There are 1.5 billion Muslims in the world. If only 5% embrace radical Islam, that is 75 million Muslims in the world who believe in the use of force to achieve their goal. That should alarm everyone. Well, what is the origin of all of this? What is the origin of Islam? What is its goal, and how does it fit in Bible prophecy? In the few minutes that remain, we're going to look at God's Word to answer those three questions. First of all, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12 as we talk about the origin of Islam. Contrary to what you may have been taught, Islam did not originate 1,400 years ago with Muhammad. Its beginnings was actually 4,000 years ago with a man named Abraham. And we find the story in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham was a wealthy man who lived in a city called Ur, Ur of the Chaldees. It was located in what today is southern Iraq, very close to the Persian Gulf. Ur of the Chaldees would have been what New York or London or Hong Kong is today. It was a very metropolitan city. But God appeared to Abraham and he said this. Look at verse 1 of Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. Verse 3. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. These verses form the most important promise in all of the Bible. It's the key to understanding history from the rest of Genesis until the second coming of Christ in Revelation. It's called the Abrahamic Covenant. It was an unconditional promise God made to Abraham. And there are three elements in this promise. First of all, God promised to Abraham and his descendants a land. He says in verse 1, go forth from your country to a land which I will show you. The land is not heaven. The land is a piece of real estate that we call Israel today. And in fact, in Genesis 15, God outlines the borders of the land that would belong to Abraham's descendants forever. The land that God said belonged to Israel is far larger than what they occupy today. In fact, they've never occupied yet all of the land God has promised them, but one day they will, because God said this belongs to Abraham and his descendants. Secondly, God promised a seed. He says in verse 2, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. He said you're going to be the father of a people who are innumerable, just as the stars in the sky or the grain on the seashore. So shall your descendants be. And then thirdly, God promised a blessing. Verse 3, he said, Abraham, through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. What was he talking about there? God elaborates further, and he's talking about the fact that one of Abraham's descendants would be the Savior of the world, the Messiah who would give his life as an atonement for sin. That is the Abrahamic covenant. And as we saw in Genesis 15 months ago, it was an unconditional covenant. It didn't depend upon Abraham's obedience or disobedience or that of any of his descendants. It was an unconditional promise that God made to Abraham and his believing descendants. Now, the big question is, to whom of Abraham's descendants did this blessing go? What was the line of Abraham's descendants through which this blessing would be passed? Who were the descendants that would be the recipients of this blessing? That's the key question. Now, Abraham was 75 years old when God made this promise and this command to leave Ur of the Chaldees. Most people at 75 are thinking about cashing in their IRAs, you know, and sitting under an umbrella somewhere and taking it easy. Abraham was just getting started at age 75. And God said, I want you to pick up everything and I want you to go to this land. Well, 10 years later, at age 85, he finally ends up in the land with his wife, Sarah. The only problem is there are no descendants. Not only after 10 years is Abraham not the father of a great nation, he's not the father of anyone. And Abraham looks at himself in the mirror and says, you know, I'm not getting any younger. And this woman I'm married to isn't getting any younger. And if we're going to have a great nation, maybe we need to help God out. That's always a mistake. You know, God doesn't always have the same timetable for fulfilling his promises that we do. And so Abraham and Sarah concocted this plan whereby Abraham would have sexual relations with Hagar, the handmaid of Sarah. And she conceived Abraham's child. And that was really a bad idea. Because as soon as Hagar became pregnant, there was tension between Hagar and Sarah, as you can imagine. And finally, Hagar couldn't take it any longer, the mistreatment of Sarah, and she left pregnant, and into the desert she went. And it was while she was in the desert that God appeared to Hagar with two promises. And we find those promises in Genesis 16, verse 10. This is so interesting. God didn't hate Hagar. He loved Hagar. He loved Hagar's descendants. And he says to her in verse 10, moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count. Just like he said to Abraham, you're going to be the father of a great nation with numerous descendants. He said to Hagar, your child is going to be the father of a great nation as well. And then he says something else in verses 11 and 12. The angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, meaning the Lord hears, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. And then in verse 12, God makes this prophecy about the son Ishmael and Ishmael's descendants. Look at what he says. He will be a wild donkey of a man. What? A jackass? That sounds kind of insulting, doesn't it? Your child is going to be a jackass. That's insulting in our way of thinking, not in that way of thinking. It simply means to be fiercely independent. Your son and his descendants will be fiercely independent. His hand will be against everyone. And everyone's hand will be against him. That is, he's going to be in conflict, he and his descendants, with all around him. Not only his other brothers, but other nations as well. Everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live to the east of all of his brothers. Who are his brothers? They would be the other descendants of Abraham that would come. Where would they be living? Well, where Abraham was living, in Canaan. What is Israel today? The descendants of Israel, Ishmael, would live to the east of Israel. That's what God says here. This is the promise to Ishmael. Well, we fast forward. Abraham was 86 when Ishmael was born. Chapter 21, the Bible says, when Abraham was 99, God appeared to him again. 13 years passed between the time Ishmael was born and the time God heard from Abraham again. Isn't that interesting? 13 years of silence. Do you ever feel like God is silent? Do you ever feel like, well, he's forgotten all about me? He's forgotten about his promise because I haven't heard from him? Again, God's timetable is different than our timetable. Sometimes God seems distant and silent because he's over here working out something else we're completely unaware of. He says, I'll get back to you. I'm not limited by time like you are. That's what he did with Abraham. 13 years later, he comes to Abraham and he says, Abraham, remember that promise I made that I was going to make you a great nation and that I was going to give you and Sarah a child? And Abraham blurts out, long live Ishmael. That's what he says in verse 18 of Genesis 17. May Ishmael live before you. God, you've answered your prayer. Ishmael's the one, isn't he? God said, no. Look at Genesis 17, 19. God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. God said very clearly, not Ishmael. I'm going to bless Ishmael. But the promise I made to you when you were 75, it is going through you and Isaac and his descendants. What does that have to do with anything? Listen to what the Nelson Study Bible says. Ishmael's descendants are the Arab people who populate most of the Middle East today. Very few peoples of the Old Testament have survived until today, but two people survive. Israel, the Jewish people, and the Arabs descended from Ishmael. And that is true. Every Jew today claims to be a descendant of Abraham and of Isaac. And every Arab today, every Muslim today, believes that he is a descendant as well of Abraham, but instead of Ishmael. Ishmael is the spiritual father of the Arab people and of the Muslim faith. There is not a Muslim today who doesn't claim in some way to be linked to Ishmael. And that brings us to our current situation, the struggle today. The Arab people, the Muslims, cannot accept the fact that the promise, the eternal covenant that God made to Abraham went through Isaac and not through Ishmael. And thus that land that God promised Abraham and his descendants rightfully belongs to the descendants of Isaac, not to the descendants of Ishmael. That was the decree of Almighty God. So what did the Muslims do? You know what they do? They simply twist the scripture. They rewrite the scripture. They come up with this fanciful story that Abraham and Hagar took Ishmael and they fled to Mecca. And there Ishmael became the forerunner of Muhammad and all Muslims. They take the story of God passing the blessing through Abraham and Isaac and saying, no, 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 the Jews just wrote that in there. It was really Abraham and Ishmael. They take the story of Genesis 22 when Abraham took Isaac up on Mount Moriah to offer him as a sacrifice. And they say, oh, no, that wasn't Isaac, that was Ishmael who was offered on Mount Moriah. They completely fabricate a story in order to make their point. Now, let me say it again. God did promise to bless Ishmael and his descendants. You find that blessing in Genesis 17, verse 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him and make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall be the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. And on tomorrow's edition of Pathway to Victory, we'll take a closer look at modern-day Muslims and the role I believe Islam will play in the end times. In closing, let me say that I'm deeply grateful for the difference friends all across the country are making by supporting Pathway to Victory's expanding ministry. Your generosity allows us to encourage and equip viewers like you while speaking biblical truth and hope with boldness. Thank you for your continued support as we continue to impact you and your family and a nation in increasingly deep spiritual need with the transforming truths of God's Word. Stay right there. I'll be back with more Pathway to Victory in just a moment.
Look around you, and you'll see a world on the brink of pandemonium, the rise of radical Islam, rebellion against God, blatant persecution of Christians. Are we living in the end times? Well, we can't know the timing of Christ's return, but we can know and understand the times in which we live. And in his best-selling book, Countdown to the Apocalypse, Dr. Robert Jeffress explains how today's headlines fulfill ancient biblical prophecies, what the Bible reveals about the future of radical Islam, how the unprecedented persecution of Christians signals the end times, and more. Request your copy of the book Countdown to the Apocalypse when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete teaching series on both CD and DVD.
There's a reason we ought to stand up against evil. There's a reason we ought to stand for God's truth. There's a reason for taking action, and that is so that we can prevent the premature implosion of this world so that we have more time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Every day on Pathway to Victory, we're committed to proclaiming the gospel while there's still time. Jesus Christ is coming back soon. And when you give generously, you're helping more and more people find the path that leads to salvation. Thank you so much for your faithful support.
While the coronavirus has dominated headlines for the past year, I promise you, violence in the Middle East has not disappeared. Radical Muslims are just as active and dangerous as ever. Attempts at peace in the Middle East may be noble, but their success will be short-lived. And my study of Scripture has led me to believe that the descendants of Ishmael will play a crucial role on the stage of the end times. So, what is the future of radical Islam? Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next on Pathway to Victory.
Today, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of Dr. Jeffress' best-selling book called Countdown to the Apocalypse. Plus, a complimentary issue of Pathway magazine is our gift to you, simply for contacting us today at Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete Countdown to the Apocalypse teaching series on both CD and DVD. These programs are made possible because of your generous support. So thanks for calling, writing, or going online to give today. Now, coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
Revelation 9:16, the number of the armies of the horsemen was what? 200 million. Today, China has over 318 million people fit for military service. India today has over 249 million people fit for military service. You add to that the approximate 98 million from various Muslim countries surrounding Israel, it's very easy to see how an army of 200 million could march from the east to Israel.
Set your DVR and join us next time for part two of the message, The Rise of Radical Islam, here on Pathway to Victory.